This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 628, Newcastle, 2002, panel discussion, part one. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks out at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and get some of the new Miracle Salve. That's right, you can get Miracle Salve. It's a hand, what's it called? It's not lotion, hand cream. That's it, hand cream. And it'll cure anything that ails you, I'm pretty sure. And while you're doing that, since that's good for you, go ahead and get some of Mayberry's Finest Bacon. Speaking of bacon here, bacon and jelly and everything else, head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it all out. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And I want to thank our executive producer for episode number 628, Susan and Wynn Arnold, for helping support the show. Thank you guys very much. And I want to thank you for being here as well to support the podcast by just listening or watching the video, whichever you're doing. Thank you for spending some time in Mayberry with me. It's always a lot of fun to visit. And it's a really big treat this week because what I've been doing recently, because, you know, the pandemic stuff, you've been at home more, working from home. So while I was working, I was hitting play on some old 8mm videotapes that I had and digitizing them. Well, one of them I ran across was a panel discussion from Mayberry in the Midwest in Newcastle, Indiana. That was this was actually in 2002. There's a current event called Mayberry in the Midwest that has been going on for about 7 years that is in Danville, Indiana. Well, they coordinated with Newcastle because Newcastle did events in 2002, 2003, and 2004. They did three, Mayberry in the Midwest, and then they never did any more events. And I don't think they were really planning to do more. So they agreed to let Danville start being the host for Mayberry in the Midwest. So what we're going to hear is an interview. It's not even an interview. It's a panel discussion. It was a news media panel session so that the news media could come there and ask questions of the cast members. Now, who was there? Howard Morris, that's Ernest T. Bass, was there. Thelma Lou, Betty Lynn, I should say, Thelma Lou, she was there. James Best, Jim Lindsay, the guitar player, of course, Roscoe from Dukes of Hazzard was there, as well as all the darlings except Briscoe. So Maggie Peterson was there, Rodney and Doug Dillard, Dean Webb, and Mitch Jane. They were all there for this event. Now, at the beginning of this panel session, Maggie was not there. She's not there at the beginning. So basically we have Howard Morris, Betty Lynn, James Best, and the four darling boys, you know, Rodney, Doug, Dean, and Mitch. And so we're going to be hearing from them. I started to kind of edit the video. But as I started listening to it, there wasn't much to edit. And you get a real feel for these cast members and just how nice and kind they actually are. They're real personalities rather than what we see on the show. And the nice part is they're pretty much similar to the characters they play on the show. And I think you'll get that from the video. Now, this is a video. So if you're watching the video podcast, you're going to be able to see it. And if you're listening, remember who I said's there and try to pick out their voices. But Howard Morris talks the most for certain. And I can't remember if James really talks very much in this part, but he does next week in part two. So you'll have to come back for that. So we're going to have this interview. We're going to do a little bit of trivia after that. And then hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History. So let's head on over to the event in Mayberry in the Midwest. As soon as I can see where it is on my board here to actually play it, because here it is. So let's go and hear from them. So this is in a big conference room, or it's in a hotel conference room is where this is held, and a fairly large one. And there are a lot of Mayberry fans in there that are there early for the event. And the cast members are all sitting around a table and answering questions from the crowd, mostly media people and obviously some other folks. And I get a nice little shout out. So listen to that. So here we go. Let's go to travel back in time to Newcastle, Indiana, 2002.
And we're very pleased to welcome you to the media hour with the stars of Mayberry. This is going to be your time, the media's time, to get those questions answered that you'd like. And this is what we're going to do is have a question and answer period for as long as you'd like to do that. And then beyond that, we'll break up into individual interviews. And we're going to limit that to 5 minutes so everybody gets as much chance to get an interview with all the stars. So I'll open it up to questions now.
I have a question. Why are we here?
Yeah, he didn't bring any rocks with him.
Yeah, how do you know?
Ernest T.
You have to go through her.
Have you heard?
He can ask away.
Okay, ask away.
Favorite moment as Ernest T. Bass, and did you enjoy that as much as directing a lot of episodes?
I enjoyed being Ernest T. Bass, which I am also now, because it's part of me. And when I got sent a script with the instructions to look at this, see if there's anything you can do with it, you mentioned that. I said, oh yeah, I can do something with this, because it was from my gut. And I just wanted to express myself in that way. I'm from the Bronx, New York. I'm not from South or Middle.
South Bronx?
Where are we? Midwest? Midwest now. Okay, that's all I have to say. Shut up.
We're back home in India?
Yeah. You want to take that on the road? I asked Rodney Dillard if they could play Melancholy Baby.
I love that song.
Yeah, I know.
I do.
It's a funny.
I used to sing it when I was young.
Still sing it, honey.
Yeah.
It's a microphone. Express yourself.
Oh, thank you.
All right, come on. Questions, what do you got?
You all know a lot about us already,
yeah.
Probably.
Who's from the press here? Oh, the one asking all the questions, right? So how long have you been with them?
There's this reverence for you guys, even among the press, which I think is
reverence. What do you mean?
Well, respect for what
you want to go home with us or anything. Like that.
That's very nice.
Can you cook?
Sure. If necessary.
I'm curious, you guys are getting together, do you guys actually rehearse this show, or is it pretty much
what show you talking
about? Well, speaking strictly for the Darlings, Dillards, we've been a group aside from the Ed Griffith Show for many years, and we have a show that we've done and changed periodically through the years, but we do have a self-contained sort of little thing that we do. But when we get together with these guys, it's heads up ball.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen, especially with Howie. You
know what I can't imagine. No, may I answer a portion of your question?
Yes, yes, you may.
The show that we do for you, is that the one you mean?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of improvised. And it should be, because if you get our spirit, we get yours. The love that we get from you guys fans is incredible. And it has sustained for 35, 40 years now. And we can't thank you enough, because it's a wonderful feeling after all this time to know that there is a solid love and respect. That's enough.
Well, that's wonderful. There's of course millions of Andy Griffith Show rerun watchers clubs out there, and we have one online. Alan Newsom,
There are definitely a lot of fans, thanks to TV Land and everything.
It's Alan Newsom.
Hi, Alan. And ask Betty Lynn, are you in touch with Don Knotts very often? Or
well, I haven't seen him for a while. And I occasionally, though, Don and his girlfriend, Francie, who's a darling girl, we have gone to dinner occasionally together. And it's funny because she's very sweet and lively, and Don is quiet. No one, people often say to me, "Oh, he must have been a riot on the set." Well, he was always very quiet, and now and then he'd say something, and it would be terrific, whatever. But he just said, not say a lot, quiet little man. And they can't believe that because they think of him as Marty. But he was a wonderful actor, and his mind's going all the time. I can tell you that. You can just see those wheels turning. But I called, he called me Christmas. He had lost my address, and he wanted his.
What was the question?
If I ever keep in touch with Don Knotts.
Oh, okay.
So I'm explaining.
Continue here.
Anyway, he called me up and said, "I've lost your address. I wanted to send you a Christmas card." And I said, "Oh, well, Don, you don't have to." He always has sent me one. "So you don't have to, because this year, something happened to me. I forget what it was now, but I didn't even get any cards for Christmas to send anybody. So I said, you won't even get one from me this year." "Well, that's all right. He said, so I got a card from him, and he signs them himself and writes everything, which is amazing. You know, he's really terrific. But I called recently, and I left a message, and he may be out working the town.
Yeah, he is.
But when I was in Alabama for Mule Days, I had a wonderful time there.
One Mule Day.
Did she say Tim?
Yeah.
She's keeping secrets. I forgot him already. Well, the senior moments keep coming.
Excuse me for interrupting.
Yes, that's cool.
An awful lot of you standing. There are seats here if you want them.
Sound like you're in church. Anyway, I left a message. I heard they were in Mississippi when I was in Alabama. But I haven't heard back from them. So they may be out somewhere.
They may be still in Mississippi.
Yeah, maybe. No.
That's it. Take a seat.
I'd like to ask a question. I'm right here. Oh. This is not God.
So that's God Dylan asking the question.
Don't worry, he's just one of the musicians.
I just wanted to ask James Best if he's still playing with Bobby Fleet and his band of the Beatles. Well, Saturday, I'm going to prove it once and for all. My expertise with the guitar.
All right.
Yes. And so if anybody who's going to be there is going to be able to witness a miracle. Macro. I think it's a macro. No, it's macro. No.
Karaoke.
Thank you. Actually, I'm auditioning for your band, so I want you to pay close attention, if you'd be so kind.
What are you all staring at?
Hi, how are you? Gosh, I see so many familiar faces. It's wonderful.
Yeah, we come to these things, and everybody says hello like we're old buddies. And we can't remember everything. But the faces are familiar. And they come from all kinds of places. I sat in an airplane yesterday on the runway in St. Louis.
In an airplane? Or are you sitting on
I was in the plane. No, I was locked in a plane, and we sat there for 2 hours. Oh. Now, I kept that clean. And that's thank you. That's terrible chore to do. And the pilots are so nice, and they come on, and they say, "Well, we only got an hour and 20 minutes left." till we get to the parking lot. Oh, well. But I flew all day yesterday.
So did you.
Boy, are your arms tired.
Yeah. Thank you. You sure you don't know Melancholy Baby?
I told you I was married to her. Okay. She spoke very highly of you. I have a question for you guys to ask us. I have a question that I'm asking you, and you could probably answer it better than we could. Why do you think the Andy Griffith Show has sustained the longevity and the popularity it has?
Because the stories are timeless.
The believability of the character.
And the fact that a town like Mayberry is, you know, such a perfect escape.
Big people.
You know, the black and white world, I guess. Are
we allowed to contribute from here?
I would hope so.
I don't know what to say.
I think it's like an Aesop's fable. That there's always a moral to this transcends a time. And
is anybody ever
it's just as funny whether it's the first time or the 50th time you've seen it. It's still just as funny.
And
it's
adheres,
waiting on them.
And it adheres to traditional values.
What's funny? What do you mean funny?
Comedy funny.
Define funny for me.
It was great writing performed by great actors.
And
well, it was a sense of reality from a generation ago. Where could you put two guys in rockers on a porch for 10 minutes and get a scene that makes you hilarious?
Yeah.
And that was Andy and Don.
Yeah. That's true.
For whom we have the utmost respect. How, no matter how much we don't like them. No, they're special people. This is one too. Even him with his miracle guitar.
You watch. You wait.
I have a question for the Dillards. For all the Dillards, and they're everybody on the track book who talked about the snoring scene and how difficult it was to get through that because of your antics. Can you just like explain that a little bit?
What's antics?
They're snoring in harmony.
Oh.
Well, actually, those snores, you see, we're not actors. We were just musicians. And they didn't put us in any position where we could actually try to act and embarrass ourselves. So basically what they did is this thing worked with us, and it wasn't broke, so why fix it? We just continued to do what we did. But when we had a chance to actually emote, it was snoring. So everybody took all their acting abilities and put it into the snoring. But Douglas, his was a natural. He's natural. That's the way he sounds all the time.
I fit the part really well because all he wanted was a dumb-looking hillbilly. That's all I
had. The joke's on Hollywood because they paid us all that money to go out there and look that way. We've been looking that way for free all our lives.
So you were the original Daryl and the other brother Daryl.
Yeah, right, the original Daryl. But, yes, everything that was one of the funniest scenes because when you get into those moments sometimes things get tense. And as a matter of fact, I got to make this comment. On that show, I'd never seen any tenseness like I'd seen in Hollywood and other shows. We've been a part of other things after that happened where it wasn't that same feeling. So it was great to have that first experience coming in from the Ozarks into Hollywood, that particular show, because the rest of them sometimes were miserable to be a part of, actually. But this show, just the vibe on the show was incredible. And Howie, you know, he was always expressing himself and interrupting. Yes, Howie?
Is that the answer to the question that you asked?
Was it? There you go. Yeah.
And then, of course, was the famous episode where Ernest T. sang his courtship song with the tin can.
Ole and Mariah.
Yeah.
But the thing about
they know you know it better than I do.
You know it well.
Yeah, but sometimes I blow it.
You know? Well, I think you should try it out for us.
Oh, really?
I think so.
There's a charge for that.
I don't know if you do.
Well, I'll try it, but you got to help me when I blow it.
I depend on you. You know it better than I do. All right, none of that. Ole and Mariah, jump in the fire. Fire too hot, jump in the pot. Pot too black, jump in the stack. Stack too high, jump in the sky. Sky too blue, jump in the canoe. Canoe too shallow, jump in the tower. Tower too soft, jump in the loft. golf's so rotten, it's cotton. And they stay there all night. I think that was the original rap. He started it.
I was fine in that till the end. You notice I bobbled, and you saved me.
So there it was, folks. That was part one. We'll have a second part of that coming up next week. So the name, Betty was talking about seeing Don and Tim, about the fact that they were in Mississippi, and they were saying, "Who's Tim? What are you talking about?" That was Tim Conway. I don't know if you could hear that completely. And then there was the one part where Howard, if you're watching the video, you can see that he was thinking. Because he was sitting about, he was basically sitting on the tarmac in the airport for 2 hours, and he was said, "I'm sitting on my seat," and then he said, "I kept it clean." Yeah, so he was proud of himself that he edited himself as he was speaking. He was definitely a New Yorker, but he was a lot of fun. We had some folks in the chat room. Roger said, it's like listening to family talk at Thanksgiving. And I guess it really is, isn't it? We've known all those folks most of our life. And it has just been such a great blessing in my life to just get to meet people. And Andy in the chat room had asked me, do I ever think about the people I've been able to meet? Because I've been doing Floyd for so long. You know, I started in 1994. So I was lucky enough to meet so many of these folks, all those folks, Miss Ellie, Eleanor Donahue, her son's in the chat room. So that's the reason I'm thinking of him. All of these folks I have been so blessed to be able to meet. The Lord has really just blessed me, and it has been such a great thing. And it has honestly been a blessing finding these tapes that I didn't remember. I videoed it. I was standing there with the video camera and videoed the stuff that this is coming from. And I'd forgotten about it and didn't know where it was. And who knew? So it was so nice to be able to run across it. So next week, we got just about the same amount of information, about 15 more minutes of it that we will be hearing from. And so I hope you'll come back next week for part two of the panel session. And I know you're going to enjoy it. I mean, it's just, this is the stuff you will not get this anywhere else. I promise you that. So it's trivia time. Everybody get out their pencils and paper. We're going to do a little bit of Mayberry trivia, and tonight we're going to pull it right out of Mayberry Trivia, Scott Hopkins' book that you can get at Weaver's Department Store if you'd like to. And we're going to do is fairly easy questions. These are not super easy like we've been doing the last few weeks, but they're not too bad. So we're going to start right here. So question one, just five questions is all we're going to do. Who travels all the way to Mayberry to shake Barney's hand? All right. Who travels all the way to Mayberry to shake Barney's hand? So have you got an answer? Come on, you can think of it. Who travels all the way to Mayberry to shake Barney's hand? So folks in the chat room are trying to come up with the answer. The answer is, you can pause if you don't want to know the answer, if you want to think about it a second, unless you're on the live show, then I guess you can't, but any other time. The answer is who traveled all the way to Mayberry to shake Barney's hand? The governor of North Carolina. All right, that's question one. Good job. All right, question two. Oh, I like this one. What name does the state investigator give to the three cow thieves? What names does the state investigator give to the three cow thieves? I just love that scene. I'm wanting to quote it as I'm sitting here. What names does the state investigator give to the three cow thieves? All right. The answer is, you can pause if you don't want to know it. Well, you see, I don't think you're getting the whole picture here. You see, Baker here is a small man. Abel here is a small man. Whereas Baker and Charlie, so it's Abel, Baker, and Charlie. Fife, don't explain it to me. All right, so it's Abel, Baker, and Charlie. Abel here is a small man, whereas Baker and Charlie, that's good. Barney, he's got that tape measure, and it's just flopping everywhere. Okay, next question. See, that's the trivia. That's one of the reasons I like the trivia, is because it brings to mind episodes that are just make me smile. All right, question three. What is the name of the state investigator who helps with the cow thief mystery? Okay, I didn't give it to you before. Whew, I was afraid I gave it to you on the other question. What's the name of the state investigator who helps with the cow thief mystery? What's his name? What is his name? I don't know what his name is, but I'm going to give him the big freeze. I'll tell you that. Yeah, big freeze. Hopefully I didn't give away an answer. What's the name? What's the last name? We'll just do the last name. What's the last name of the state investigator? That's right. His name is Upchurch. Mr. Upchurch. That's right. Big freeze. You and me, Barney. Big freeze. Okay. Okay. So here's a good one. What is adventure sleeping? What's adventure sleeping? What is adventure sleeping? This is a short question. What is adventure sleeping? The answer is, for anybody who doesn't want to know it, you can pause. According to Opie, adventure sleeping is sleeping on an ironing board between two chairs. Good job. And our final question. This one's a little harder, but you may remember it. How did Barney learn to crochet? How did Barney learn to crochet? How did Barney learn to crochet? Now, Lydia in our chat room should know this answer. She should definitely know this. How did Barney learn to crochet? Because she crochets or knits or one of those things. I don't know the difference. That's a bad. I don't know. So the answer is Barney learned to crochet by watching his mother. That's right. He was watching his mother. All right. How did you do? That's five questions. Five fun Mayberry trivia questions for all of us to play. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you did well. And if you didn't do well, I hope that you got a smile out of it and remember some of these fun episodes that we get to deal with every time we do these trivia. I love the trivia. That's my favorite part. I'm not that good at the trivia, but I love it. All right. So now it's time to head over and hear from Randy Turner.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Like all television series, the Andy Griffith Show episodes were filmed weeks before the public saw them when they aired. Similarly, news about the show was also available far before the date's episodes aired. And in fact, Variety had already revealed that Don Knotts would be leaving the show several months before the end of the season. While the deputy may not have been part of the original pilot, the chemistry between Andy Griffith and Don Knotts was magical. While it is easy for us to look back and say it could not be replaced, it must have been difficult for the series producers not to think they at least needed to try to do just that. And who knows? With the right actor and the right approach, meaning an approach very different than Don Knotts had taken to create Barney Fife, maybe it would have worked. While it has never been officially confirmed to my knowledge, the guest appearance of Don Rickles at least had the feel of the producers exploring a different type of character as a possible replacement. The Luck of Newt Monroe first aired on April the 12th, 1965, followed by only three more episodes before the end of the season. And the episode immediately following the Newton Monroe episode would be the last with the Don Knotts as a series regular. Stand-up insult comic Don Rickles was already well established for his nightclub act, which he had been performing since the late 1940s. He primarily worked in television upon occasion as an announcer in various shows, beginning in 1955 in an episode of the drama anthology Stage 7. He made his film debut in the 1958 war film Run Silent, Run Deep, starring Clark Gable and Burt Lancaster. The following year, Rickles was seen in his first television acting role, as opposed to being an announcer, appearing as a cab driver in an episode of The Thin Man, a series based on the Dashiell Hammett mystery novel, which had spawned a successful film franchise. Don had trained at the prestigious American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and his early film work reflected that he was capable of playing the serious roles he had originally trained for. He also appeared in the Ernest Borgnine film drama, The Rabbit Trap, and played an abusive owner of a taxi dance hall in The Rat Race. Don continued to also appear in the occasional television series, including a 1961 episode of The Twilight Zone, but he soon was appearing instead in broad comedies. In 1964, he began appearing in the Beach Party movie series, primarily because his agent was married to the film series co-star Annette Funicello. Don, by that point, was more regularly doing guest shots in TV comedies. He guest starred in The Addams Family, The Dick Van Dyke Show, The Munsters, The Beverly Hillbillies, and Gomer Pyle USMC in less than the six-month period before he appeared in The Andy Griffith Show. So Don may well have been open to a regular gig on such a popular series. The Luck of Newt Monroe has a similar storyline to the earlier Cousin Virgil, in which Barney's visiting cousin is just as inept as Newton when it comes to most things. The episode is also the only example of Barney exchanging a series of, oh yeah, yes, with someone other than Otis. But was his guest appearance really an attempt by the producers to see if Don Rickles might be a possible replacement for the departing Don Knotts? We will likely never know. While it does have the feel of a tryout, there's no official confirmation that Don was ever offered a role in The Andy Griffith Show, and he makes no mention of it at all in his autobiography. But Don Rickles did talk about his appearance in the next to the last episode to star Don Knotts as a series regular, and what he had to say comes as no surprise. He stated filming the scenes with Don Knotts were difficult. Don's famous shakes cracked me up. Even though film was rolling, I couldn't do my lines. I was laughing too hard. And that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourself, take care of one another, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. Wow, it's always great. Randy comes up with such great stuff. If you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the stuff that he comes up with, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the Mayberry fun. So thank you again, Randy. And, you know, you always wonder, these great actors, these actors you see on TV, do they have trouble not laughing when some of these, somebody like Don Knotts is pulling stuff? You know, Tim Conway, we talked about him a few minutes ago. Those kind of actors, you saw Harvey Korman, those guys on Carol Burnett, couldn't keep a straight face. So it's kind of funny that Don Rickles, who plays this gruff, usually guy, and he's having a hard time not laughing at Don Knotts. And that, I just think that's great. So that's fun. These actors that were on the Andy Griffith Show were actually amazing. And the quality of the acting, the writing, that's why it's still on even today. That's the reason. They were so believable. Everybody cared about them. You had feelings about these people, and you still do. That's one of the reasons I've always had a rule on the websites I run, is not to say anything negative about any of the characters. Because while you may not like that particular character, that may be somebody's favorite. Like we said a few minutes ago, it's like, this listening to that interview or that panel session was like sitting in the living room, listening to people talk, family talk during Thanksgiving. Well, you know, you don't want to talk bad about people's family. So it is really amazing. So we'll hear some more next week from the Dillards. They've got some stories about Denver Pyle. I think James has got some stories. There's some stories about Ron Howard that you're going to enjoy hearing, I believe, as well. So, wow, this is just a jewel. I'm glad I was able to find it, and I'm able to share it with you all. I would love to hear what you guys think about the podcast. So if you'd give me a call at 888-684-8415 and let me know, or maybe send me an email at floyd@imayberry.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks again to everybody. Thanks to the folks that were able to make it out to Granville, Tennessee this past weekend and said hi to me, Eric Self and Belinda and Vicky. And I can name almost every one of them, Sharon and Wayne. Thank you all for coming and just showing up, and it's great to be able to visit just a little bit with everybody. Hopefully we'll be able to do that more. If you can, try to plan to attend the 9th Mayberry Meetup in Mount Airy. Information will be on our show notes, so go and check it out. Y'all have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.